Every year, 2 million people from around the world head to Peru specifically to visit Machu Picchu. Some of them want to see South American wildlife and enjoy a wonderful experience at one of the genuine wonders of the world, but their visits do not require protection of anything outside of this area. Indeed, the sheer magnitude of them has required a lot of development of the area. Meanwhile, every year, barely 3,000 people from around the world head to Peru specifically to see its amazing wildlife. This surprises me because Peru, a little smaller than Alaska and almost twice the size of Texas, is home to such an astonishingly magnificent biodiversity. At current count, 1,824 bird species have been found in Peru, well over three times the 499 species ever seen in Alaska, and well over double the 651 species ever seen in Texas. And some of those birds of Peru are shockingly amazing, including the national bird, the Andean cock of the rock, and the mind-boggling array of 123 different species of hummingbirds. So I was shocked to learn that three orders of magnitude more people visit Peru to see one archaeological site than to see some of this amazing biological wealth. Many people concerned about climate change, of course, see that as a good thing. Airplane travel accounts for about 4-9% of the total climate change impact of human activity. For them, the fewer people flying to Peru for whatever reason, the better. It's absolutely true that climate change is the hugest issue facing humans right now, and the birds that we treasure as well. The trick is that as serious as airplane travel is in the overall picture, tropical deforestation is at least equally critical, contributing to at least 10% of the total climate change impact. And agricultural byproducts, especially from beef production, contribute over 12%. We talk about how horrible deforestation and large-scale cattle production are in the abstract without coming up with specific alternatives. People struggling to get by and just feed their families in impoverished countries often have no alternative but to lease or sell their land for logging and then for large-scale cattle or sun-grown coffee production until the soil is depleted. And the soils of tropical rainforests and cloud forests are singularly devoid of nutrients, which are locked up in the vegetation. When the forest is cut, the loss of vegetative-driven humidity, in combination with the low-nutrient soils, make regeneration slow. It can take centuries to replace a cut cloud forest and many scores of years for even sparse ground cover to take over. Meanwhile, local climate change effects due to the loss of the carbon-sucking, humidity-enhancing forest are exacerbated by patches of bare ground. Loss of relatively small amounts of rain or cloud forest lead to significant losses in rainfall and cloud cover over a more widespread area. Many people don't realize that the overall rainfall and cloud cover patterns in tropical forests are not mostly due to typical weather systems, but are a self-generating set of local conditions because of the forest vegetation itself. When a tropical forest is cut down, climate change is exacerbated by more than the loss of carbon-sucking vegetation. Right now, poor people in the Peruvian countryside make what little money they can by logging and agriculture. Some wise, forward-thinking Peruvians have worked tirelessly to try to persuade them to feed their families with money earned from hummingbird feeding stations and other ecotourism ventures that protect rather than cut down the forests. Some environmentalists think it's mere selfishness for birders to want to conserve bird species for their own sakes in the face of the massive destruction climate change promises. But protecting cloud and rainforests is an essential component in the fight against climate change, and the only way to do that is to give the landowners alternative ways of making a living without logging. Some kinds of ecotourism really do that. Several landowners in northern Peru have started promoting conservation just in the past couple of years since they discovered that they can get more money now and into the future by letting birders see rare hummingbirds on their property than they can earn by logging their land. Now they take pride in getting more and more hummingbirds at their feeding stations, which is directly related to the quality of diversity in all the nearby forests. So they're not only protecting their own land, but also encouraging their neighbors to protect their land too, increasing the numbers and diversity of hummingbirds. A win for birds, a win for the planet, and a win in the fight against climate change. The government-sponsored FAM tour I was on this month was led by the co-founder of a fantastic small Peruvian company called Green Tours. Their mission includes a true commitment to social and environmental responsibilities. They compensate for their own carbon footprint via a conservation project of the Tambopata National Reserve and are certified by the Green Initiative to be a carbon-neutral company. The lodges and hotels where we stayed on our trip had softer impacts on the environment than the huge five-star resorts near Machu Picchu. Genuine ecotourism is an entirely different thing than tourism in general. Ecotourism, specifically by birders, supports the people who are directly preserving quality cloud and rainforest habitat, which has an even greater impact in the climate change equation than air travel does. So visiting Peru to see its birds, even for purely selfish reasons, may be much more important for fighting climate change than sitting home. Of course, those of us who understand all the complexities know that even with respect to deforestation, travel is still a huge driver of climate change. To compensate for my own trip to Peru, I made a contribution to the World Land Trust to ensure that the fuel burned by the airplanes and other vehicles transporting me around would be offset by reforestation to absorb that much carbon. But I feel good that the individuals who are protecting their land so that I and other birders can see those marvelous spatule tails and emerald-bellied pufflegs, sparkling violet ears, and sword-billed hummingbirds have prospects of earning an income long into the future, not by cutting down their forests, but by protecting them. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.